Okay, so for some of you, prayer, maybe most of us, prayer is not the first thing you're drawn to. How many of you find prayer difficult at times? Come on, okay? So, a lot of people. It's pretty common. It's a pretty normal thing. And I've gone through that. I still go through that. There's lots of biographies I read of people I look up to, men and women, great giants of the faith, I would call them, who in their journals and in their teachings say that prayer was still a struggle towards the end of their life. It's not that they didn't pray well. It's not that they didn't pray a lot. It's not that they didn't see prayer as important. It's that prayer is something that you need to work at. And for a lot of people, it's a journey in not only making prayer a priority in our life and learning to pray, but seeing God answer those prayers. And so as a young man, I you know, just in my early 20s, first church, I really began to struggle through this. How do I become more a man of prayer? How do I pray more? And so I was at my first church. I was part-time associate pastor, and I was working part-time on a pig farm. So I figured the best way to learn to pray is to learn about prayer. So I got a few books on prayer, and I'd take them to the barn with me, and when the owner would go inside for break or lunch, when I was only the only farmhand there often during the day, I'd take my breaks and my lunch hour, and I'd read about it. It didn't mean that I prayed a bunch more, but I was hoping that if I read about it, I might get more of a heart and passion to pray. And so I learned quite a bit about prayer from a number of different people. One of the key books I read at that time was Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybels, and it was really eye-opening for me to learn about prayer. But even though I grew in my knowledge, I found that my prayer life didn't grow all that much more. So I kind of went back to some teaching I'd had. I remember sitting during my internship here with Pastor Mark Bolander and asking him about prayer. And I said, like, how do we pray as pastors for everything we've got to pray for? And he said, well, you know, I don't pray for everything every day. I can't. That's too much. So I break things up. So I made a prayer list of things I'd pray for every day, my family, me, and some certain needs. And then I divided the rest of the things that I thought I should be praying for throughout the rest of the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just during weekdays, because I figured weekends as a youth pastor and stuff, that would be difficult. So, and Sunday morning getting ready for church to add extra stuff. So I did that. And so I started to try and do that as I began meeting with accountability partners and trying to really get a grasp on what it is to follow Jesus as a husband and as a pastor and as a young man. And soon after that, I realized that it was still really a challenge to pray. I didn't have the first clue what to say. I would say the same things over and over again, right? Lord, bless so-and-so, be with, thanks for being here, help me. That was about it. I had different adverbs and adjectives I would throw before names in different prayer requests, and it became frustrating. And so I thought, you know, there's lots of prayers in the Bible, so let's find one. And I stumbled across Colossians 1, 9 to 14. So here's the bullet list I made on my prayer document there. And so I found that in this prayer where Paul is praying for the Colossian church, there's about six things he mentioned. So I began to pray these over the people I was praying for, because I figured if it's important enough for it to be in the Bible, it's probably something I should be praying for too. So I would pray for God to fill with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. I pray for people that they bear fruit in every good work, that they grow in their knowledge of God, be strengthened with all power to have endurance and patience, and be joyful in giving thanks to the Father for their inheritance. So what I thought I'd stumbled across on my own and my own plan was actually the still small voice of the Spirit, just being gentle and kind with me to grow me in my spiritual walk and in how I pray, because prayer is the most important thing, right? We know that, at least cognitively, and it's quite another thing to walk that out, and I'm still working that out in my life. I think that probably everyone here who's tried to pray has struggled with that at some point in time. Some of you are very nervous about praying out loud because you just don't know what to say. Or if you do pray on your own, you don't know how to approach God. Or if you aren't a follower of Jesus, or you're just kind of checking him out, you're not sure how to speak to God. And so this whole idea of not knowing what to say is a real stumbling block and a real hard thing to learn, we think, for most people. And it's very common. In fact, I think that everyone here has struggled with that at some point in time. Even if you've never really had a prayer life or had it worked in regularly. Often in those times of difficulty in our lives, we throw Hail Marys up to God and hope, you know, almost like horseshoes or hand grenades. I hope, God, you're up there somewhere and you might listen to me. And we try our best in our anguish and in our desperation to say something, but we often question, is it the right thing? Am I saying the right things to God? So we sometimes do that. Other times we fall into a rut like I did, of saying the same things over and over and over again. And that's one of the detractors from prayer. You know, when we started doing prayer meetings here, it was me and one or two other people. When we do a prayer walk or something, it'd be 8 or 9, something a little different. When we do a prayer experience, it'd maybe be 15. And now we're doing a prayer and worship gatherings, and we're getting anywhere from 20 to 40 people. And so there's something to not having a boring prayer meeting. So prayer gatherings are not boring. It's actually a time where we gather together to pray. As important as small groups and Sunday morning are, and gathering and worship and youth and children's ministry and all those great things are, the number one thing we do when we gather, the most important thing for us to do when we gather, is prayer. Gathered prayer for a congregation is the foundational piece. We can do a lot of good things, but none of them will take root in your life or mine or in the church or in the community unless we're praying. Somehow in North America, we've fooled ourselves into believing that a good program and lights and pastor and staff and a building and all this stuff will make healthy followers of Jesus, and it just doesn't. I mean, attending things is good. Programs aren't bad. They're opportunities to connect us with others and connect us with God. But the most important thing we do is we pray. And so we kind of know this, and so you might see the prayer gathering on the calendar. You're like, well, I'm not sure. It is a really important thing, and I want to invite you to that. In fact, tonight, if some of you are dealing with health difficulties, we'll have time to pray and anoint with oil. We have prayer time before service at 9:30. If any of you wrestle with, boy, it's noisy in here, and kids and stuff like that at the beginning of service, and you need kind of quiet, it's just over in my office. We meet at 9:30, and we pray, and we quiet our hearts, because we value kids and families and visiting and the noise, and we're in kind of that kind of a building. Prayer gathering is a really important thing, and I'm not doing this to lay the guilt on. One of the ways we learn to pray is that we gather together and we try different forms of prayer together. But one of the most important keys to learning to pray and learning how to say what we need to say is through Scripture. John Piper, he's a pastor and a well-known author, he says this: if I try to pray for people or events without having the Word, so the Word of God, the Bible, in front of me, guiding my prayers, then several negative things happen. One is that I tend to be very repetitive. I just pray the same thing all the time. Another negative thing is that my mind tends to wander. So over the years, as I've tried to grow and stumble along in prayer, I didn't really have a mentor or anything, I just figured, well, praying Scripture seems to be a good idea, so I expanded my repertoire from Colossians. So here's a bunch of the passages I found, prayers in the New Testament that I have on my prayer list and I use. And I use to put words to my prayers when I don't have words. Now, Romans 8 talks about the Holy Spirit praying for us when all we have is groans. I think it works the same way. The Holy Spirit will use his word, God's word, and he'll use his own words to help us when we pray. We don't often know how we ought to pray. And so God's word is this untapped resource. So I'll leave that up there for a little while if people want to look at that. If you want me to send that to you or put it on our website, I can do that as well. So I would start by reading them, and then I'd start to pray them word for word, and then I'd make them my own. So kind of like that bullet list, I broke it a bullet list and made that. So when I'm praying for someone, I'm praying these things. And all of these passages have different prayers, mainly of Paul. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. Before he's crucified, he prays for three major groups of people. It's been confirmed to me time and time again that this is one of those missing keys, those things that we don't teach and we don't learn often enough. God's word, you know, if you haven't attended the Hearing God seminar, we just got done our second round of it. Such a good time to learn how to listen to God in your quiet times and glean from his word, see what he's speaking and how to test that. How do you know it's the voice of God and not me? We begin just exploring that in the Hearing God seminar, and that's really important. God's word is absolutely there for us to hear his voice, absolutely. But God's word is also there to put voice to our prayers. It's not just, listening from God up. It's to put words to our prayers. It's this untapped resource. And a guy by the name of Sundar Krishnan, he's the pastor at Rexdale Alliance Church in Toronto. I have high respect for him. I heard him speak last year about this. John Maxwell, another guy I respect. Years ago, I heard him speak about this too. And both those men found that praying the Word, praying the Bible, did something in the prayer life like no other. In fact, for Sundar Krishnan, he and his wife read through the Bible every year. Every year they read through the whole Bible. And even though for years he had done that, he's in his late 60s or early 70s, even though he had done that for years, he still found that prayer was a struggle. As a pastor of a large church, someone who loves Jesus dearly, spends regular time with God, until he felt relieved to not make up his own prayers every time. And he felt released a couple years ago or a few years ago to use those passages he was reading every day as a foundation or a framework or a guidepost for prayer. Last month, I came across a book called Praying the Bible by Donald S. Whitney. So I bought the audiobook and listened to it while I did some stuff around the house, and I've listened to it again and again and again. Here's how the first chapter starts. Since prayer is talking with God, why don't people pray more? Why don't the people of God enjoy prayer more? I maintain that people, truly born again, genuinely Christian people, often do not pray simply because they do not feel like it. And the reason they don't feel like it is that when they do pray, they tend to say the same old things about the same old things. You familiar with that? I read that. I was like, me? Yeah, that's me. He goes on. When you've said the same old things about the same old things about 1,000 times, how do you feel about saying them again? Bored. We can be talking to the most fascinating person in the universe about the most important things in our lives and be bored to death. As a result, a great many Christians conclude this. It must be me. Something's wrong with me. I get bored in something as important as prayer. So I don't feel like going to prayer meetings or prayer gatherings or praying very much because I get bored in it. Then I must be a second-rate Christian. If you struggle with your prayer life, if you struggle with how to pray or knowing what to say, or you say the same old things about the same old things, because the reality is this. We're going to continue to pray for the same old things. Always. You're going to pray for your family, needs around you, things in your church, things in your neighborhood, the government, crisis points. The names and details may change, but we tend to pray about the same things, and that's okay. That's just part of life. But if you say the same old things about the same old things, it can get repetitive and boring. Your willpower to pray isn't enough. If it were, you'd already be praying to the amount you want to. If your willpower enough, that you'd be doing that. Our willpower isn't enough. If simply hearing sermons about you should pray more, or a pastor standing up and a prayer director saying, hey, come to our prayer gathering, you should really do this. If that was enough, we'd all be doing it. We'd have more people coming to our prayer gatherings than to our Sunday morning services. It's just simply not enough. Sermons telling you to pray, books on prayer, if all those things were enough, we'd all be praying more, wouldn't we? Absolutely. But a lot of us feel like we're second-rate Christians, like we're not good enough to pray. We don't know how to pray. We get bored with prayer. It's very difficult. Sometimes we fall asleep in prayer, and that's okay. I once read that I was really struggling with that sometimes when I pray early in the morning or late at night, would fall asleep at times. And I read once of a nun who said, it's better to fall asleep in the arms of your Savior than to ignore him altogether. And so there's a lot of freedom in learning to pray. God is gentle and kind with us, but he invites us to come right into his throne room. And he wants to hear from us. But more than that, he gives us the words to say. Sometimes you wonder, what does God want me to pray? How can I pray God's will? When you pray scripture, you are praying God's word. Various monks, preachers, leaders, followers of Jesus all throughout time have found this to be not a key, but the key to learning to pray. Because you already have a resource with you that God has given you. So what about the people in the Bible? Do we find places in the Bible? Is this just like a North American thing where, or just something we kind of pick up, practice? Or is it something we can actually find in the Bible that they did? And I think they did. And we're going to look at two places this morning very quickly. Acts chapter 4, 23 to 36. People in the early church, the very first church, used scripture to pray. So Acts 4, 23 to 36 says this. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had to say. So Peter and John are taken to speak to the Jewish leaders and told to stop preaching about Jesus. And they said, no, we're not going to preach about Jesus. So they want to go back and tell all the believers, the church. I mean, church just means people, right? So people who are followers of Jesus, they tell them what had happened, that they were considered worthy for being persecuted in his name. And they go back, and here's what the believers did. When they, so all the people gathered, the church, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted up their voice together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. So there's a couple things here that are interesting. First of all the people knew this. So was this a common prayer of the day? Like maybe some of you know the Lord's Prayer, or there's other prayers. We have a few prayers we say at Grace. There's something I pray at bedtime. We teach our kids by doing repetitive prayers. Was this a repetitive prayer? That's not bad. It's not the heart of a prayer life, but it's a good way to learn and teach our kids to learn to pray. No, it wasn't. Well, how did they all said it? They all prayed this because it was from Psalm 146 and Psalm 2, and they seemed to know this. So the church knew Psalm 146 and Psalm 2, and they used that to unite their voices in prayer, to pray for the same thing at the same time. So they were all on the same page. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus prayed using the Bible. We don't have many examples of this, but we have at least one. The very last prayer he prayed, he used Scripture on the cross. Matthew 27:45-46. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that's a pretty short prayer. Why did Jesus pray a short prayer? Because if I'm on the cross, or if I'm under torture, I'm praying a lot. Was it because he's the Son of God and he didn't really need to talk with his Father? No, not at all. When a person is crucified, their whole body hangs, and they're supported by one nail in the bottom and two nails here. And in order to breathe, they actually have to push themselves up on these nails in order to expand their diaphragm and breathe and get breath in their lungs. So speaking is very difficult. Breathing is next to impossible, let alone speaking anything. You couldn't have a breath in you to say it because you'd have to let yourself back down and it expels all the air. Often people would die by suffocation in crucifixion. It was the most common way that people would pass away in that form of torture, death. So when Jesus prayed that, he was just saying a short prayer. That's actually taken from Psalm 22. I'll read you the first couple of verses. It's not on the screen, but my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Now, was Jesus saying, God, you've left me forever, you're far away? No. Why was he praying that? Because people around would know what he was saying. Up to that point, that was just a psalm. What's the book of Psalms in the Bible? The book of Psalms in the Bible was Israel's songbook. It's literally their hymn book or their songbook. Many, if not all, of the melodies have been lost, but we still have the words. And so Jesus prayed this prayer. Not just songs, they're first-person prayers. That particular psalm, Psalm 22, is the largest portion of Scripture that is prophetic about the crucifixion. Up to that point, they had no idea what it was speaking about. And why have you forsaken me? He talks about all sorts of different things that actually happened to Jesus during the crucifixion event. That whole psalm speaks about it. It's prophetic. And so Jesus was praying that, but he's also proclaiming that to people who would know what he was saying and go back to God's word and realize this is the Messiah. This has been prophesied. Jesus used Scripture to pray because it provides clarity. It allows others to know what you're saying. It allows your heart, and you don't have to make it up. So what does it mean for you, for me? Well, first of all, if you struggle in prayer, you can use any passage from the Bible, to put words to your prayers. If you don't know what to pray and you want to pray, and we should pray because prayer is the main thing. If you don't pray, God doesn't work. A powerless people is a prayerless people. A church in decline is a prayerless church. Marriages, families, homes, businesses, kids' schools, when we don't have prayer, I'm not talking about public prayer back in the schools. Who cares about that? That's nothing. God's people praying. That does something. And so if you struggle to pray, because it's the main thing, if we don't pray, God doesn't move. He's worked that out. If you struggle with that, this is the key. The Bible is a gift to help you know how to pray and know what to say. The Bible is a gift to help you know how to pray and what to say. You will never, ever run out of things to pray for. If you sit down and start writing out a list of stuff you should be praying for, it's just endless. God will bring to mind all sorts of things. But if you read God's word, you will never run out of fresh ways to pray for those things. You'll never run out of fresh ways to pray for those things. The best and easiest place to begin, Donald Whitney, who wrote the book Praying the Bible, he suggests starting with the Psalms. Psalms are songs. They're prayers. They're first person. Many people find that when they're in a dark place or struggle, they can turn to the Psalms as a starting place for encouragement. But it's also a place for prayer. And you can begin by just putting voice to that, just simply reciting it in your heart or out loud and making it your prayer. Or better still, you add your own words into that song. You craft it to match your particular situation and where you're at. All other parts of the Bible are profitable too, are prayable as well. And so I started with prayers in the Bible. So the most easy, the simplest continuum of learning to pray the Bible is you begin with the Psalms. Next, go to the prayers. Find prayers in the Old Testament, New Testament. Again, the first person, they're in there for a reason, so God must think that's a good prayer. And you can learn to pick up on some of the things they're saying. Prayer isn't an art form. There's no right way to pray. But if you're worried about not knowing what to say, God gives you words already. The next best place to go is the epistles or instructional pieces. So pieces of the Bible that have instructions, like in the letters or parts of the Old Testament. Because when you read an instruction, prayer is the next most natural thing. When you hear, you know, that you should have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you can do one of two things. You can go out and try and make that happen, which is not what we're called to do, or you can pray for God to work that in your life as you obediently follow Him, which is actually the right way. Prayer is built in there. So if you go to the instructional pieces, you can actually just pray that over yourself and others and say, God, I ask that you would work this into my life, or may I see this in this situation, or do this in this situation. It's fresh and open, and it gives you such a repertoire of things to pray for. And if you're going through a daily Bible reading plan and you're praying that as well, you'll never pray the same thing twice. And God has given us that. The next parts of the Bible that are a little more difficult are the narrative pieces, either in the Old Testament and New Testament, Gospels, and prophetic books. And so if you're going to pray those, you have to look at it a little bit different. You have to take a more holistic view, a top-down view. So where it's a parable or a full narrative, you may have to read through the whole story, the whole narrative. And what you're looking for is the underlying principles. What's God encouraging? What's the point of this parable, of this narrative, of what's happening, so that you can understand what it is and you can pray that. For example, if you're listening to the parable, really, of how about the sower and the seeds? So sower goes out, plant seeds, and one of them takes root, three of them don't. It's a representation of the gospel and preaching and how we live. So a good way to pray that is, God, as I'm going, give me opportunities to plant seeds. And in this person's life or this person's life, I pray that it would take root. And I know this person's really struggling. It seems like the sun is really beating down on them and they're starting to lose their faith. May I come alongside them? There's so much you can do with that. When you're looking at a narrative piece, say like David and Goliath, you can pray things like, God, may I have the courage to take a stand in this very difficult thing. Or, God, for the persecuted church who has this oppressing country or army or regime, just like David and the Israelites had, may you come and rescue them the same way you rescued David. Help me to be strong against the sins that constantly I'm tempted by and I feel like I can never overcome. Give me victory there the same way you gave David victory. Do you see what's happening there? You're putting your voice. It makes the Bible richer. It's not a road map, okay? It's not a roadmap. And yes, there's an element of a love letter in there, but it's much deeper than that. When you begin to pray Scripture, you'll find that your prayer life is deeper. It's just deeper. And so today, I could do one of two things before we go. I can say, thanks for being here. It's been a wonderful service. You know, talk to the Benbow family. It's wonderful. Go out, and I hope that you use the Bible and your prayer life is great. Good. See you next week. Or we can do it. So for some of you, those two words, do it, you're panicked, right? So let me just calm you down. We're not going to do anything out loud. This is all ourselves. In fact, we're going to use Psalm 23, one of the most familiar psalms from the songbook of the Israelites that people within the church and people outside the church know. The Lord is my shepherd. So we're going to use that in a few minutes for you to quietly pray. And you can do, you can read it and make it your own in your heart. You can modify the words something like, God, thank you that you're my shepherd. And thank you that you've come to be a shepherd in my life. And I ask that today as I follow you, I'd just be like a sheep. I'd listen to what you're saying, and I'd take steps along your path. Thank you for providing all I need. And you can go through verse by verse, line by line, word by word, put your needs, your family, your church, your neighborhood, your cares in there, and learn to pray it. We're going to have some quiet music playing, so it's not just going to be dead silence. You don't have to do it out loud. Do it in your heart. Do it quietly. But I want to give you opportunity to try this for yourself, because you may find that this is one of those great secrets that unlock just a wealth of depth and roots in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not in the habit of coming to church, if you're not sure what following Jesus is all about, that's okay too, because you know what? God hears and wants to listen to you too. And I encourage you this morning, maybe that's a next step for you in discovering who Jesus is and how to follow him and what God's plan for your life is and if the Bible is real or true. And so this may be just a wonderful way for you to engage in that. So let me pray, and then we're going to pray, and then I'll close in prayer. Lots of prayer this morning, and I invite you back tonight as well to our prayer gathering. It is not boring. We don't just all sit around and wait for people to share prayer requests. We get to praying, and we worship, and we have a good time. Bring your Bibles, bring a pen, a notepad. There's journaling, there's sharing. It's an active time. It's a great time. It's one of my favorite times. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much that you've given us your word, and that you you give it to us as a tool to help us pray. Prayer is your idea, and it's the way that we learn to live in deep relationship with you. So we are a people who desperately need to spend time with you, and this is one of the keys. And thank you, God, that you give us your word, not just so we can hear your voice, but so that we can put voice to our hearts and our prayers. Bless our time right now, God. May we, may all distractions be gone. May our hearts and minds be able to be quiet for this time. And may we find you in a deep place, maybe that we haven't gone to in a while. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So there's going to be some music playing, and you'll see Psalm 23 on the screen, and I'll close this off in a few moments. Father, thank you that you say in order to come close to you, we have to be children, like children, simple in our faith. We don't need to be giants with deep theological words. We don't, in fact, you oppose the proud. Thank you that you invite us to you just as we are, but you never leave us there. Thank you that you take us exactly as we are in this moment, whether we feel like we're close to you, whether we feel like we can pray, whether we feel like we're following you well or not, but that you don't leave us there and that you change us just by spending time with you. It just doesn't make any sense to me, God. And Father, we just want to work hard at becoming who you want us to be. But even this psalm, you say, following you is just about being led, and it's about resting. Thank you that there is work to do, but the work is pressing into you. So, Father, as we become more a people of prayer, more a church of prayer, we pray that life transformation would come along with that. Father, for the people here who feel like they're not good enough, who haven't talked to you in who knows how long, I pray that this would be another beginning point. Thank you that we are never good enough to walk into your presence on our own, but that through Jesus we can always come to you. Thank you for the simplicity of your good news. Thank you for the simplicity of being able to just come to you. Voice our heart, and when we don't know what to say, that we can use your word. Father, I pray for each one of us that we would open your word daily, not only take from it, not only learn from it, not only learn about you, but that it would drive us to you, that we would use the words of Scripture to speak to you, and that we would be transformed, that we would grow deeper in our relationship with you, and that we'd see our lives, our families, our church, our neighborhoods, our friends, our city, our world change for you. And this is where it starts, God. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming this morning. I hope that many of you can come tonight. Unfortunately, there's no childcare, but maybe one parent can come. And we hope to see you again next week. Lord bless you as you go this morning.